The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast, hosted by me, Bobby Beavers. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Gareth Topham. What we're going to do is we're going to look ahead to the Arc on Sunday. Plus, we'll have a look at the Abbey as well, at the big sprint of the day. And Gareth will give us his two selections ahead of Saturday's racing, both at Redcar, because that's where he's commentating. And that will be the listed race on the car, which is the two-year-old trophy and the Gisbert Stakes as well. Gareth, this is like old times, wouldn't you say?
It is. It is, yeah. You're a lot busier than me these days, though. It used to be the other way around.
It did.
But you are the man in demand these days.
Yeah, it's slightly true. I don't know about in demand. I think I'm just keeping myself out of mischief. That's what I hear. That's what my wife tells me anyway. But great to see you. We will talk about the Arc first. What do you think to this year's renewal for starters?
Yeah, it looks really good. Once again, it is. A lot of people bill it as the best flat race that takes place in Europe throughout a calendar year. And I can sort of concur with that, definitely. It's always a very high quality race. There's something about the middle distance performers as well that we sort of become a bit attached to them as the season goes on. And the great thing about this year's renewal, again, we get to see the brilliant Enable running after what she did to the field at Chantilly last year. We'll be hoping that she'll be as effective around Longchamp and put in another bold show. And we've mentioned Enable, of course, being a filly herself. Fillies have got a great record in the race, mm-hmm. particularly in recent years. And we've just heard about Sea of Class, of course, being supplemented for a hefty cost for the race as well. And she so far has looked very, very exciting. Was also impressed with her, not just over at the Curragh, but also at York earlier on in the campaign. And she still could be anything. And will she be good enough to serve it up to Enable? Well, we'll find out on Sunday. But the race is all the more better, I think, for her participation.
I know a lot of people were saying, you know, towards the back end of last year, you know, earlier on this year as well, is how exciting would it be? People were suggesting an Able versus Cracksman would have been a cracker, you know, which horse will Frankie ride, etc. Unfortunately, it's not quite worked out like that. And obviously, now it's been announced that due to the fact that the rain is not really forecast there, Cracksman's not going to take his chance at all.
No, I think the Champion Stakes at Ascot, where he could potentially be taking on the likes of Roaring Lion, I think that's been sort of given as a bit of a possibility for Cracksman to have his swan song. And that itself will make for a fantastic race. I've maintained for a month or two now, I think Roaring Lion is the standout sort of three-year-old, particularly among the colts this season. He's the one that's really gone from strength to strength. Cracksman has come back possibly not quite as good as he was. Of course, he scrambled home at Epsom. He's been beaten since. For me, he's got the odd sort of question mark against him now, and he is quite ground dependent, obviously, as his absence from Sunday's highlight sort of alludes to. So it's going to be interesting to see how he gets on. Against Cracksman, I think Roaring Lion would be the one I'd side with, just because of that horse's sustained progress throughout the course of the season. But it makes for an exciting race, and we've got one on Sunday anyway in the shape of this Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe without Cracksman. Yeah, it's a shame that Cracksman isn't turning up, but we've still got a really exciting contest to look forward to. And again, I have a feeling it might well be girls first.
And in the Abbey as well, Gareth, on Sunday, the big sprint of the day. This has been won by some fine horses over the years. We need to talk about Batash, who won the race 12 months ago. Extremely impressive in the King George at Goodwood back in August. Didn't quite perform like we thought he would perform in the Nunthorpe. But in your opinion, if he turns up, if he runs like he did in the King George, is he the winner?
Yeah, I'd say so. There doesn't look to be anything sort of standout danger against him. City Line is currently second favourite with us here at William Hill. And then slightly more sort of better known horses like, you know, your Mabs Cross of this world, your Havana Grays, your Alpha Delfinis. All very high quality sprinters, but Batash on his day is by far and away the one to beat. And we're offering 6-4 here at William Hill, and I think what you're taking there is a chance that Batash turns up at his very, very best. If he does turn up at his best, he wins, as far as I'm concerned. But he's not entirely straightforward. He tends to get very buzzy before the race. He can sometimes run his race before it's even started. And he can throw in the odd wobble. We've seen him do that. I think he'll have conditions very much to his liking, which hasn't always been the case so far this season. But as you alluded to, Bobby, his performance at Goodwood was as good as we've seen from any sprinter so far this season. And if Batash is able to reproduce that, that does make him the one to beat. And it probably makes 6-4 look quite generous on the day. But, you know, at the moment, 6-2, it's just that chance you take whether Batash, the Batash that we all know and love, actually turns up. I think that's what you're actually taking your 6-4 chance with. I thought of the dangers in the race. I think Havana Gray is likely to give his running bold running Gray, who you know hardly ever throws in a bad run. He's always there or thereabouts in high quality companies, around about 9-1. You'll have three places to aim at. I think he could be a danger. And if Batash does fail to live fully up to expectations, then Havana Gray is, I think, as good as any other to possibly strike.
It would be some double, wouldn't it, if Alpha Delfini was to win the Abbey on Sunday, you know, the Nunthorpe and Abbey double.
Yeah, obviously a bit of a surprise victor earlier on in the season at York. But, you know, again, he's gone there, he's proved it. And again, he's very, very reliable, and reliability with sprinters, even at the top level, it can be something quite hard to come by. We've even seen it with Batash this year. Mm-hmm. He's brilliant on his day, but not every race is his day. And I just find with sprinters, they are very in and out generally, whatever sort of level that they come at. Whereas Alpha Delfini, yeah, he can throw in the odd bad run. It's often when he's seemingly been outclassed, you know, and it's been a Group 1 field, but he's obviously gone and proved himself at that sort of level. Now he's a worthy contender on Sunday, and 14-1, he's going to have his supporters.
Certainly is indeed. Now, before we look forward to the Ark and the Abbey on Sunday, on Saturday, it's Redcar's big meeting of the year. You're commentating there. The terrestrial TV cameras are also going to be making the trip to Redcar as well. We do have the two-year-old trophy. We've also got the Gisborne Stakes as well. The two-year-old trophy, you know, over the years, there's been some cracking winners of that particular race. You know, Logout Island a couple of years ago, but more notably, La Marta won that once upon a time.
Yeah, he did. La Marta was the last winner to win this race before I sort of came in for this day, because I've done this for a few years now. Yeah, it's, as you say, Bobby, there's been some very good winners over the years. I think La Marta has probably been the best of them. But it looks another very, very wide open renewal of this contest. Certainly as wide open a renewal, I think, that I've called. Again, I think it's very, very difficult. I quite like the prospects of Red Balloons. I think that, you know, Red Balloons has been there. The form is there for all to see. Has beaten quite a few of these as the season has gone on. You know, she's pretty tough and consistent. She's still quite lightly raced, but she's been beating the right horses. She's been running in the right types of races. You know, the Super Sprint at Newbury, that really competitive Goffs UK Premier Yearling Stakes at York last time out. You know, she was well on top in that race. And although she was sent off at odds of 33-1, you know, there didn't appear to be any great fluke about that. And she certainly isn't going to be 33-1 at Redcar on Saturday. So I think Red Balloons holds as good a chance as any. A Vintage Brew quite likely to be popular for the Tim Easterby stable. That one, in fact, could even go off favourite. Andrew Balding's had a fine season. He saddles a couple, the likes of Strict Tempo and Pass the Gin. Again, they've got form lines which ties in with a couple of the principals here. They might just come off slightly worse, but again, they're live contenders in what's going to be a very, very open race. We are due quite a bit of rain tomorrow at Redcar and overnight into Redcar, so the going at the moment is good to firm. That could well ease to at least good. Even before racing has started. The two-year-old trophy is the second race on the card this year. It's earlier, it's usually the fourth or fifth race on the card, which is quite nice. It gives me a time to warm up to the cavalry charge that it is. But no, we're straight into our race two. But as I say, we are predicting quite a bit of rain, so there might be the odd non-runner filter through here and there tomorrow. But just bear that in mind, because these are two-year-olds, and it's you know, just makes life a little bit tougher for them in nasty conditions, which it could be. But no, it's going to be a great race. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting it out the way. I think Red Balloons, drawn in stall 19, so we'll be over towards the near side. Might not necessarily be too bad a place to be. So yeah, Red Balloons, if you had to nail me down to one, would be the selection for the two-year-old trophy.
And what wins the Gisborough?
Yeah, the Gisborough's, again, good race. Possibly not quite as strong as it's been the last couple of years. I think it's got more runners this time, though. Looks quite wide open. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tentatively go for a horse I called down at Salisbury the other week, a horse called Raid, who, cast your minds back to the beginning of the season, was not being beaten all that far by Saxon Warrior in the 2000 Guineas, you know, Roaring Lion, Massar, et al., you know, just a couple of names that were ahead of this horse that day. You know, Raid finished eighth, you know, ahead of Raid that day. Saxon Warrior, Massar, Roaring Lion, James Garfield, Gustav Clamp, to name a few. You know, they're good names. And although Raid hasn't necessarily shown that level of form since then in two runs, he was quite well beaten at Goodwood. But again, I'd always be willing to forgive a horse getting stuffed at Goodwood because it's not the most conventional of circuits. Not every horse acts there. But last time out, again, it probably just wasn't the ideal sort of scenario at Salisbury in that race I called down there. It was a condition stakes. There were only three runners, but he got beat by the right horse in Foxtrot Lady, who was coming into the race absolutely on a roll. You know, he ran well, and I think this race is going to be a little more truly run, and it might just bring out a little bit more of the best side of Raid. I think he's got a good chance, and he's likely to be a good price as well. I think Tabrak is a likely favourite for the Richard Hannon Yard. Tom Marquand on board. He's the highest rated horse in the race, off a mark of 110, but therefore he does have to give way to away, and Raid's only carrying 8 stone 12. We've got Hayley Turner on board. I just think we're going to see a little bit more of the Raid that we saw back towards the beginning of the season tomorrow. So yeah, fingers crossed Raid can do himself justice in that Gisborough Stakes.
Absolutely brilliant. Gareth, great to do the Daily Racing Podcast with you here at William Hill. And just to confirm, it's Red Balloons to win the two-year-old trophy and Raid to win the Gisborough Stakes, both at Redcar.
Yeah, that's correct. And we'll just give that final of the Miles series a mention as well. I don't know what's going to win it, but that is one of the best handicap races in terms of, you know, openness and competitiveness I've seen at Redcar all season. I think it's a really good race. I think the prize money has been upped. It's £45,000 this year. I don't think it was quite that much last year, but they've been rewarded with a real strong competitive-looking line. I think that's a fabulous race, that, and that comes up at 4:35. So after we think the features have gone and they're out the way, well, not necessarily so. I think that Straight Mile Series final is an absolute cracker.
Yeah, it certainly is indeed. Gareth, thank you very much for joining me, and enjoy commentating at Redcar.
I'm sure I will. Thank you, Bobby.
And that's the end of the racing podcast. On Saturday, make sure you do tune in to William Hill Racing Radio. Join me, Bobby Beavers, alongside Alistair Jones and Andrew Mount as well. A cracking afternoon's racing. Hope you can tune in.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.